Selezioniamo le interviste realizzate e le riproponiamo per voi. Musicisti, innovatori, artisti, sportivi, operatori sociali. Raccontiamo la città che cambia. Un archivio unico a disposizione. Scelti da noi e messi in onda per voi. Unica Radio, B-Podcast.
Per il film, la conferenza stampa del film Cyrano, vi presento subito gli ospiti sul palco. Al mio fianco l'autore dei costumi, Massimo Cantini Parrini. Secondo me manca ancora qualcuno, però potrei avere una lista che nel frattempo è cambiata. Dovrebbe esserci il compositore Bryce Dessner. Ok. Produttore Eric Fellner? No. Sì, no. Guy Healy. Ok, ne avevo due. Benvenuto, welcome. Haley Bennett, la nostra docente. Il regista Joe Wright e in collegamento con noi Peter Dinklage. Eccoci, allora, alzate bene la mano per le vostre domande. Volevo cominciare con una domanda per il regista. Vorrei chiedergli cosa l'ha spinta a rileggere, a reinterpretare, a riprendere in mano questo grande classico della letteratura che è stato così tanto amato anche dal cinema. Ok, gliela possiamo ritradurre?
What led me to encourage, what encouraged me to...
Why did you choose to read again in a different, this is such a different way, this classic?
It broke the headphones. Haley invited me to see a workshop production that... she was involved with, written and directed by Erica Schmidt, up at the Chester Theatre in Chester, Connecticut. And it was a small workshop production. I think there was 120, 160 seats. And I'd always loved this story. I had a deep affinity with the character of Cyrano. I guess... any teenager who feels odd and out of place and unlovable might have the same feeling. I went and saw this production, and I hadn't anticipated the impact that Pete Dinklage's performance and Pete and Haley together would have on me. I suddenly realized that this was the potential for a completely new and illuminating version of the classic story. And so I immediately wanted to adapt it for the cinema.
Quando ho capito che questi attori, appunto, che ha scelto sarebbero stati i perfetti, Cyrano e Roxanne?
Well, they kind of chose me, frankly. I first of all had to ask Hayley if I may approach Pete and Erica. She agreed. So then I approached Pete and Erica, and I think Pete's life experience probably has quite a lot to do with the authenticity that he brings to the role. There's a deep relatability and extraordinary pathos that Pete brings to the role. And there's something about the chemistry between Pete and Hayley too. Hayley's a much deeper and more emotional version of Roxanne than we've seen before.
Ci sono delle domande? Una domanda qui?
Salve, Capello Masullo, per l'ingegnere, domanda per il regista. Naturalmente volevo capire un po' qual è stato il valore aggiunto delle location italiane e siciliane in particolare, perché sono state scelte e come vi siete trovati a lavorare in Italia, poi avendo scelto anche un italiano per i costumi, insomma, mi sembra.
I have had a very long-lasting love affair with Italian cinema. To me, the Italian cinema is the most beautiful history of cinema. My father's favorite film was The Bicycle Thief, and I've loved, you know, Fellini. Obviously, was my hero, but also Antonioni and Visconti, Rocco and his brothers is another of my favorites, but also the contemporary Italian filmmakers, in particular Paolo Sorrentino, I adore. There's something about the richness of life that exists in Italian cinema that often doesn't exist in Northern European cinema and American cinema. Although one can say that American cinema is really the history extended of Italian cinema. So I've always wanted to work here. I've always been looking for the opportunity to work in Italy. I just like being here as well. And then when we came to think about where we might shoot Cyrano, it was a two-pronged rationale, really. We were in the middle of lockdown, and it was a crazy idea to make this movie during the pandemic. So we thought about where could we control the size of the numbers and the kind of possible contagion. So filming on an island, it seemed like quite a good idea. Noto is a town that, you know, has a lot of tourism, and there weren't any tourists, so the town was very quiet. But more importantly, I wanted to create a kind of fantasy of a time and a place. Rostand's original, as we know, is set in the 1640s, but I wanted something that was a fantasy, a dream space. And Noto, to me, is such a dream space. It was, as you know, destroyed in the 1690s by a terrible earthquake and then rebuilt as this kind of fantasy of Baroque architecture. It seemed to me to be the most romantic place I could possibly imagine, and so therefore felt like it would support the story we were trying to tell. And then, of course, there's Etna, where we shot the battle sequences, which was one of the craziest decisions of my career. We filmed at 16,000 feet, so no air, and you're constantly sliding down this black grit. We were told by very reliable sources that we weren't actually going to get any snow till February, and we were shooting in December, so that was going to be okay. But of course, the week before we shot, a meter of snow fell, and so it was a very and then on the last day, the volcano erupted. I think the goddess of Etna just wanted us out of there, and so she was spitting lava at us as we ran down the mountain and away.
I remember I was on a plane, I had a week off, which was very nice, and I went back to England, and I was on a plane to come visit you all, and I was excited to get to come to the set on Etna, because it was spectacular, and I remember being on the airplane, and it was evening time, and there was a big ball of light that looked like, could it be the moon? I don't think it's the moon. There's something that looks very angry in the sky. It was like a big red moon. And I was like, is it a blood moon? I don't know. I was racking my brain. And then in the car, the guy goes, oh, see where you're going? And I said, yes, where are we going? And he goes, oh, the Mount Etna, it's erupting. And I was like, oh God, that's where we're going. No one had told me that you guys were filming on an active volcano. I remember driving up to the set, and there's just lava and ash falling in the air. I thought it was snow, and it was just ash from the volcano.
E sulle location e le folli e le scelte folli potrebbe dirci qualcosa anche Guy Healy. About location and the crazy choices.
It was definitely an adventure, every aspect of it. When we were. Nossa was an extraordinary place to be. It was, it was beautifully contained. It's a beautiful Baroque town. It sort of had the romance that the film had in spades, and we were kind of breathing that. But it was definitely challenging. And Etna certainly was, when it was not supposed to snow, it snowed. When the snow then turned to rain, and we couldn't get down the mountain and then get up the mountain, so it was pretty challenging. But it was an amazingly beautiful place to shoot, and it's the Italians. Our Italian crew were absolutely extraordinary. Massimo's here, obviously. Him and his team, all our Italian crew were absolutely the best technicians in the world, and we were incredibly lucky to have them.
And Peter and Helly, Joe stava parlando di questa grande complicità tra voi. Parlava di questa grande complicità appunto tra gli attori, Hale e Peter, quindi come se ci raccontano un po' di questa complicità e che cosa questi personaggi hanno dato loro la possibilità di esplorare, raccontati naturalmente in questo modo.
Peter? Do you want to start?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hey, if you're like... My head is already way too large already, and now it's gone much bigger. Hello, greetings, Rome, from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for having me participate in the festival. It's lovely to, I won't speak for Haley, but I'll speak for myself, certainly, to have the experience and the history with Haley that we had in the workshop production. Going into the film, we had a shorthand with each other, a chemistry that was already there, a friendship that was already there, and off, as everybody in the film industry knows, it's sometimes tricky for actors to arrive on sets and they meet someone and they immediately have to have this sort of chemistry, sort of act this chemistry, because you really don't know the person at all yet. But Haley and I had the advantage of knowing each other and getting along very well and having a sense of humor about the whole thing. So yes, that was a luxury that few of us usually get in other films.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'm incredibly grateful to, this was Erica, Pete's wife's baby. And she developed the stage production. She adapted the stage production, which I was asked to do by Erica. And I'm just incredibly grateful to them for allowing me to make this character my own and to also you know, it just felt like a real family endeavor. You know, when we were doing the stage production, you know, Erica was so wonderful. She just had a baby. And then I think our lives have so drastically changed over the course of, I don't know, I guess the past 5 years. And so we've been on this kind of long journey together. We feel really, really comfortable together to explore these characters together, to feel silly, to make mistakes, to you know, be like, oh, is my breath smell? I don't know, like all of those things that you feel insecure about working opposite of another actor. And that kind of, there was no facade between us, you know, there was no, like, we weren't trying to be cool, we just were there and there for each other, and that made things really simple and therefore really beautiful and really human, and that's what you need.
Which, and it's kind of works for the characters, because at the end of the day, even though Cyrano is in love with Roxanne, they're very good friends. They're the best of friends. And I think that's sort of this balancing act throughout the story, throughout the film, throughout Joe's film, between that, and it's almost as if, darn it, if Cyrano wasn't so deeply in love with her, they would be such really good friends. And I think obviously with love, that's marriage and all of that, that's paramount as the years go by, to have your love be also your best friend.
Massimo, ci racconti come invece, cioè, il tuo contributo nel creare questo sogno, nel rileggere a tua volta questi costumi, siamo tra metà tra il 600 e il 700, no?
No,
pieno 700. E ecco, come sì, forse
funziona? Sì, adesso sì. E quindi, sì, siamo in pieno 700. Io, quando sono stato chiamato per questo film, non ci potevo credere, perché poter lavorare con un regista così è stato un sogno. Joe è stato immediatamente comprensivo, anche perché sono stato chiamato un mese prima di iniziare a girare, quindi ho avuto pochissimo tempo, ho avuto problemi con gli ordini delle stoffe, perché le dogane erano chiuse per il Covid, perché ho dovuto, praticamente il film è tutto nuovo, non abbiamo affittato pochissimi costumi, i militari sono tutti stati fatti nuovi, sono chilometri e chilometri di stoffe che dovevano arrivare e non arrivavano mai perché avevano chiuso le frontiere, insomma ho avuto problemi enormi. Però la bellezza di lavorare con Joe è stata questa estrema libertà che ha, questa enorme cultura visiva, e riuscire a prendere l'essenza delle cose, che è poi il mio modo di lavorare. Io odio i costumi pomposi, cerco sempre di togliere e mai mettere, perché credo che arrivare all'anima delle cose sia quello che poi lo spettatore riesce sempre meglio a vedere sullo schermo. È stato un film per me meraviglioso, perché il poco tempo ha fatto sì che anche la testa si mettesse in moto in modo diverso. Joe mi ha aiutato tanto anche con le idee meravigliose che aveva. Siamo partiti da studiare le linee di Watteau, che è questo pittore francese meraviglioso, e a me un po' l'ispirazione, dopo che ho parlato con Joe, mi è venuta entrando in svariati musei che ho visitato a Roma e anche a Firenze, e ogni volta che vedevo gli acquerelli, questa leggerezza nei costumi, proprio perché l'acquerello rende appunto queste trasparenze, ha fatto sì che mi è venuto in mente di fare tutto leggero, tutto trasparente, anche per poter dare un impatto un po' più moderno al costume, che è sempre bello un po' riuscire a svecchiarlo. Io colleziono abiti da quando sono piccolo, ho iniziato, avevo 13 anni, e quindi ho dedicato tutta la mia vita al costume, praticamente un po' come un prete, si può dire, e quindi sono anche un po' malato di mente in questo senso, sono un po' fissato. E quindi riuscire, quando hai la padronanza della materia, è bello riuscire a stravolgerla. In questo caso il 700 è completamente alleggerito, appunto, come dicevo prima, c'è un'essenza dell'epoca, questa leggerezza che siamo riusciti ad avere negli abiti è una cosa rara a volte, no? Da vedere nel cinema. Ed è un po' tutto quello che con Joe ci eravamo detti, no? questa modernità, cioè volevamo che comunque anche le divise non fossero storicamente reali. Abbiamo aggiunto insieme a lui tantissimi bottoni perché volevamo che non ci fossero mani, che non ci fosse la gonna della giacca poteva essere tirata su. Insomma, i costumi dovevano cambiare anche per far sì che questo esercito, insomma, riuscisse sia a diventare un esercito vero, sia dei fantastici ballerini, insomma, è un musical comunque, quindi... Però è una delle esperienze più belle che ho vissuto, gli attori sono sempre stati meravigliosi, sempre con noi, veramente difficile trovare un team così, in un momento tra l'altro complicato come la pandemia, alle 10 eravamo chiusi in casa, tutto quello che insomma ha portato. La Sicilia era l'unico luogo, diciamo, salvo da tutto, che era in zona gialla. E io ho visto fin ieri sera per la prima volta e ancora non mi sono ripreso dalla perfezione, secondo me, che Gio ha raggiunto, perché è stato un direttore d'orchestra magnifico, un burattinaio anzi vorrei dire, perché è riuscito a dirigere tutto con... È una sfera questo film, e come sfera ha raggiunto la perfezione, secondo me. Io sono felice di averne fatto parte, che lui si sia fidato di me, soprattutto non conoscendomi, perché non è facile che un regista così famoso, così importante, sceglie una persona che comunque vive in un paese e fa cose più piccole di quelle che lui è abituato a fare. Io sono super orgoglioso di questa cosa.
Come hai lavorato sulle musiche nel film? Si canta dal vivo, it's a live performance, e si passa dalle canzoni al parlato e viceversa. Come dire, anche le imperfezioni, l'affanno, le incertezze fanno parte della performance, quindi mi piacerebbe sapere come hai lavorato su questo.
I think, like what Pete and Haley were saying about the opportunity to do this, develop this piece in the theater first. So the songs really came out of a conversation with Erica Schmidt, who wrote the screenplay and directed the original theatrical adaptation of Cyrano. And so it was really her idea that we could present Cyrano, where essentially I think what would have been kind of long poetic monologues in the original 19th century text become songs. And because of that, it's not sort of typical needle drop, you know, bang you over the head, Broadway style songs. They're songs that weave in and out of the poetry, out of this environment, this beautiful, all the different colors of the costuming, the scenic design, the cinematography, the music is part of that world. And we wanted the songs and the score to exist as part of that universe. So it was an incredible opportunity for a musician, for a composer, also with my brother Aaron Desner and our lyricists Matt Berninger and Corinne Besser, to work on this production. Usually I've scored films before and you get called in after it's been shot, after it's been edited often. In this case, we were involved, you know, 4 years of dreaming and then revisions. Joe and I worked extensively on the music prior to shooting in Sicily. I was in Sicily for 3 weeks of rehearsals and the first week of shooting, so it was quite special to be, you know, we would stay up late after they had worked all day long, and then Joe would come in my hotel, often with one of the producers, and we would kind of listen and jam, basically. And so the music is really deeply part of the whole experience for me, and as a collaboration, it's one of the most powerful collaborations I've ever been part of.
Ci sono domande? Prego.
Sì, buongiorno, Andrea Giordano per Icon. La domanda è per Peter Dinklage. Ho la sensazione che il Cyrano sia un personaggio sempre in evoluzione, moderno, contemporaneo, che dove si parla di orgoglio, di accettazione di se stessi, che si rivolge al maschile e al femminile in ugual modo. Quindi volevo sapere quanto lo sente vicino, pensando all'esperienza che ha provato sia a teatro che al cinema, e volevo sapere proprio una sua sensazione umana, perché credo che sia un film che si riconnette anche all'essere umano e anche alle relazioni. E poi, se posso, dei complimenti a Massimo per quanto riguarda i costumi, che sono straordinari e che parlano sempre. Grazie.
Wow, it's a great question. Well, first of all, any great piece of literature from hundreds of years ago, they're great because they still are relevant today. Chekhov is one of my favorite, personally, my favorite writers, and you can do Chekhov 300 years from now, and it still will apply to the human condition about what everybody goes through, no matter what era they're living in. And with Rostand, Cyrano, it's the same thing. Yes, I'm an actor, so therefore I do hide behind many curtains and have fun in doing so. So that's inherently built into my character already. We all have different versions of things we hide behind, whether it's humor or clothing or whatever to hide your true self. And really, if you think about it, these letters that Cyrano hides behind, and the character of Christian that he also hides behind, is so relevant today with all our sort of profiles that we have online and our identities that are not truly our own. And nobody really calls each other on the phone anymore. They text and they send emails and they send their best picture, selfie of themselves. And so it is a version of ourselves that we want to present to the world online that is happening all the time these days, which basically is what Cyrano is doing. He's using the identity of someone else, which people nowadays do. There's a term in America that it's catfish, which is basically what Cyrano is doing. So it's incredibly relevant to what's going on today. It's just with today's with technology, and with Cyrano, it's with a feathered pen.
C'è ancora una domanda lì?
Salve, è una domanda per Peter. Matteo da Mendesino. Volevo chiedergli, Cyrano nel film parla in continuazione tramite le lettere, tramite questo amore espresso tramite proprio queste lettere. E nella società di oggi invece, come diceva prima, i social hanno eliminato l'amore espresso, quello vero, tramite le parole. Ha trovato difficoltà a esprimere quindi questo amore in un modo che è comunque lontano ormai da come ci esprimiamo noi nella società moderna.
It's far from what it's like today, is that what you said? Hello? Sorry, I think I lost that last part. I think it's definitely, he is very long-winded with his letters of love. And I think what we have done with Joe and Bryce and Aaron and Matt and Grin have done is brilliantly, and Erica Schmidt, they brilliantly made the letters into songs. And that is, people nowadays, their attention span is such where a 4-hour production of Cyrano doesn't work like it used to, because everybody has a lot to do in a day, and they don't really sit like they used to contentedly in a theater. I've seen people in theaters on their cell phones, and that I find insanely disrespectful, but they don't have the attention span that they used to. So the trick for this production was to have the heart of Rostand's original piece, but somehow make it into a 2-hour window for today's audience. And I think the solution of making all of the speeches, the pontifications of love into song, because you can get away with a lot more in song in terms of your heart. If you sing about love, it's much more beautiful and forgivable than if you talk about love, I think.
It's like the new Adele song. The new Adele song? Has anyone heard the new Adele song? Take it easy on me. Here we go. For example.
And personally, monologues don't really work in films the way they do in theater.
I think just music just cuts right to the heart of things, doesn't it, Pete?
Yeah, of course it does.
Oh, so simple.
It's our heartbeat. The rhythm is our heartbeat. And that's the rhythm of, and I love that the guys underscored, when we did the production, they underscored the whole piece. There was never a moment where music wasn't playing. And it really was really amazing for us on stage to have that heartbeat following us through the production.
Purtroppo dobbiamo fermarci qui, forse se riesce a fare una domanda molto veloce, abbiamo un'ultimissima domanda qui.
Salve Thomas, cardinali per Talking Media, io avrei una domanda per Peter. In un'epoca in cui, specie nei giorni nostri, si parla molto di body shaming, potremmo definire Cyrano una vittima di body shaming. Che messaggio ti senti di mandare alle persone che subiscono questo fenomeno? E poi un grazie particolare da parte mia per tutti gli anni che ci hai fatto alzare alle 3 di notte con una serie TV fantastica. Grazie.
Thank you. Well, you know, the whole piece itself, and it's all about it's not how others see us, it's about how we see ourselves. And body shaming really starts within ourselves and how we feel about ourselves. And I don't think no one is truly comfortable in their own skin. And if they are, they have moments during the day when they're not. And now we're really constantly reminded of it because everybody is, you know, everybody has a camera at all times in their pocket. And so we're very self-aware these days, much more self-aware of our appearance than we used to be. I'm staring at myself right now, unfortunately, in this monitor. What the piece of Cyrano does, I think it's universal. I think the character of Cyrano can apply to anyone, not just somebody who's physically different, but just anybody who can feel insecure in the face of love and not worthy of love.
Dobbiamo fermarci qui.
Noi selezioniamo le interviste e le riproponiamo per voi. Riascoltale su unicaradio.it o scaricale. Unica Radio, portala sempre con te.